Certainly good to see each and every one that we have here today. And if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest. If you're listening online, we invite you to take Bible out and just pause the recording and get a Bible and follow along. We are excited about being able to worship the God of the universe, the one true and living God, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, divine nature. I appreciate Reagan leading that last song. It was a blessing to have him ask what might be one that would go with the lesson. And we asked the Lord in that song to teach us. And that's what the lesson is about this morning. Teach me, Lord. Teach us, Lord. This is going to require some communication. Yet I invite your attention to how some people reacted with regard to the Lord or the Lord's messenger, and we'll only look at two or reference two things to start. These would be rather negative, but I think it's good for us to see the example of those that are not wanting to be taught by the Lord by their actions. In Acts 7, toward the latter part of that chapter, Acts chapter 7, Stephen was trying to help some people, help them spiritually. And I don't know of anything that we could have someone do for us that would be more important than help us spiritually. So for those who are teachers of Bible classes, both men and women here, and those that get up to preach, those that do exhortations, even those that read scriptures, we're trying to help ourselves spiritually as well as others. Stephen taught the truth. He wanted the people to respond to God for their own spiritual well-being. There's only two places of eternal abode. Heaven, place of glory forever. And hell, the bad place. There is no middle ground. We can't opt out. Stephen preaches to the folks on that occasion, and we'll pick up in verse 51 with some rather hard words to hear, but they must have been true. He was preaching under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the New King James, the Bible says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, the Bible says they were so teachable that they said, "What shall we do? We need forgiveness of these sins. Let's get right with God. We killed the Messiah." That wasn't the response. These people were not teachable, but they were being taught. They were being given the opportunity to respond the way the Lord invites all of us to respond. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him, speaking of Stephen, with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charged him with his sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, that we would all have the strength of Stephen and strength of heart when faced with something like unto that, trying to help people get on God's side, leave the devil's side, and do what's right. Teachable people are a joy to be around. We have some who are educators in the audience, and we have several who do so spiritually. But we have some that I know it's just a joy to see the students that take an interest and almost an insatiable desire to learn more. To see a child begin to learn their alphabet, and then imagine a child having a spell a name of 11 letters or so. Somebody picked the name, and they're blessed or cursed with having that name as far as starting out to spell it. And when a child, before they get to kindergarten, can spell their name when it has 11 or 12 letters in it, it's an amazing feat. But when they begin to learn, and they have to learn these sight words in English because everything doesn't work properly, because we have all these other words that have come in from all these other languages, and it's a melting pot. And then in English, there's all these exceptions, if you will, to the rule. So many so that by the time we learn all the exceptions, we've just about forgot what the rule was. Well, that's in secular school and training, how much more important it is that we have an insatiable desire. Can we truly say, teach us to do thy will most lovingly, just as we sung in the second verse of the song that we sung just a moment ago? It's a joy to see those spiritually who are insatiably with their desire to learn Scripture, to want to learn more, to want to dig, to glean the truth and shed the arrow and be careful with the Word of God and not reckless with it. I commend that. May we all be that way. But again, the Bible notes those that are unteachable. They don't want to be told that they're wrong in any matter of life, much less spiritual. And it's to their own peril. Of all the things that they should heed, of all the things in life that they should bend and flex and be willing to submit to the God of heaven and earth that is going to be involved in judgment of every person that's ever lived, including where the angels will be. Don't want to be teachable. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to attend on a service that has the Lord's Supper because it's dull or boring. We pray that that can change, and people can change. While there's life, there's hope, but it takes a repentance, a change of heart that results in a change of action. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, in verse 15, we have some people that have not cardiovascular problems, but they have heart problems with their spirit, with their mind. New King James is what I'll be reading from mostly today. Quoting Isaiah, verse 14, but in verse 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Is this a teachable person that's being described here? Closing their eyes. "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts," and here it is, "and they turn," that's that repentance we're talking about, "so that I should heal them." That's all God wants to do, is save everybody. He gave His only begotten Son, but you have to turn to God, live for God, work in the sense of it takes effort to study in order to be taught to do His will. He's got the mercy stored up. He's got the grace. He sent Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. And what are some doing? Don't want to hear it. Don't want to see it. Leave me alone. Bothers me to hear that stuff. We can't have that kind of attitude and be saved. And there's not going to be this remedial time of, well, we're not going to send you at this judgment day to the bad place forever. We're going to give you a repeat. We're going to run you through again. We're going to recycle you through the program. This is it. It's a one-shot deal with regard to what is our life, but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I can't believe how fast the years turn. We sing that song, "Swiftly We're Turning Life's Daily Pages," and it seemed like forever when it was 9 months of grade school, and 3 months in the summer would fly by. But when you get past your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, and you begin to get the half-century mark and later, things seem to speed up even more. And you look back and you say, 7 years retired? Now I'm looking at Medicaid, Medicare. By law, you have to deal with it. You're 65. These things happen if you live that long. But what is living that long? It's an opportunity to serve God. It's an opportunity to be teachable. If you resisted before, there's time to repent and change, even in the older years of our lives. Jesus said, give not that which is holy for dogs. And after a while, you're not going to cast your pearls before the swine. Meaning, there's so many people to teach and so many to reach out to teach that you can only stay with those that are resisting so long. You've got to turn and go. Paul did that when he would go into a city and he'd go into the synagogue and he would teach the Jews. And he knew as well as anybody what prophecies he needed to pull out from Old Testament and show that they're fulfilled in Christ. And he was a living example of someone, but he was teachable. He didn't recognize it, but when he finally recognized that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, he turned. And he was on fire for God. On fire for God's cause. And yes, was willing to teach others and not sit around and mull and grieve over those that he had killed. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He consented unto that death. And he could say, well, I'm not fit to go out and preach even though I've been forgiven of all my sin. No, he just worked for the Lord and he began to share the gospel as soon as he could. In Acts 13:51, there was this custom of shaking the dust off your feet as you leave a city that was rejecting the gospel. Symbolic of, this is what we've got. We've got to move on. Also found in Matthew 10, verse 14. So in spiritual matters, it is imperative for us to be a teachable person. And we can enjoy. I love the enthusiasm that some bring something to class, and then afterwards we talk about it a little bit more, and there are smiles on faces, and people say, and I've heard that here, isn't it a joy to study God's Word? It is. It can be. Now, the devil would have us look at this as, well, this is like studying for calculus. These hard, difficult things in the Bible, or it's difficult for me to do this. It's hard. Yes. Get a study partner. Make it fun. Not frivolous, but make it enjoyable. The God of heaven gave us this. He talks to us through the Word. It's here preserved for us. It was brought to us in a magnificent way. And we have so much to be thankful for. What kind of ground am I? And what kind of ground are you? In the parable of the sower, are we the wayside, hard-packed, interstate, concrete, non-penetrable? Throw some seed on it and the wind's going to blow it off. Or if it rains before that, you know, it's built with a crown. Reggie could tell us about that with the Department of Transportation work. Like a football field, roads are supposed to have a little bit of a crown so that the water runs off to the side and doesn't puddle up. Sometimes it puddles up. Maybe somebody didn't do their job. Are we the good ground? Nothing was wrong with the seed in this parable. The seed is the Word of God. The people are the soils, the wayside, the thorny, the rocky, and the good. And even within the good, there are different measures of fruitfulness because of the talents and abilities that we have and the effort that's put forward. But let's be good soil that the Word of God can penetrate and can flourish. The 3,000 on Pentecost is the number that responded positively. There may have been some who listened and paused and said, well, I might have to think about that a little bit more, and maybe in a few weeks or days after they obeyed the gospel. And then there were those that did not ever obey the gospel of Christ, in their life having been there on Pentecost and maybe in other occasions, maybe in the synagogue when others were going in to teach as New Testament Christians that they needed to leave Judaism in that matter, if they were Jews and still practicing that, because the old law had been fulfilled in Jesus, who is the Christ, pointing to the Old Testament scriptures and showing from the Word of God these prophecies and linking them to the things concerning the Christ, Jesus. They that gladly received His Word, Acts 2:41, on that Pentecost day. They that gladly received His Word. Those are teachable people, aren't they? Were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What were some of the characteristics of a teachable person? Well, one is they realize they don't know what they don't know. But if you learn, you begin to acquire knowledge. And you don't want to be haughty about knowledge and be a know-it-all, because just as soon as you think you know everything, you'll find out that you don't. And then there'll be another problem. Those that are teachers, James 3:1, have the heavier judgment. So it is a grave responsibility, a serious matter to teach the Word. Because you want to teach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You don't want to fall short and not teach enough in order to be the whole truth. You don't want to teach too much and you've overstepped. Study. Study partners. God didn't say, now every one of you have to isolate yourself and you can't ask questions of one another, or let iron sharpen iron, or you can ask questions and you can study together. Yes, that's fine. There are all kinds of wonderful study helps. There are some things that are called study helps or study guides that aren't worth the paper that they're printed on, because they teach false doctrine and error and propagate things that are foreign to the unadulterated Word of God. What's another characteristic of someone who is teachable besides they realize they do not know? Philip the eunuch was one like that, wasn't he? Because he said, how can I except someone guide me? And Philip got up in the chariot and began the same scripture and taught him, because the eunuch was a teachable person. Well, they're willing to listen. And that eunuch, if he began to hear things that he didn't like, he could have been an unteachable person. But he started out being teachable and he continued to listen. And he asked questions. And then he responded. In 1 Samuel 3:9, Eli was talking to Samuel, and this voice was calling out, and Samuel thought it was Eli, and he's going on more than one occasion. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and if it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And guess what? Next time he heard that voice, he did what Eli told him. He was a teachable person. He was ready to serve and did so the days of his life. Teachable people want to know. They have a desire to know. Cornelius was just that type. Acts 10, verse 33. He's talking to Peter, who's come to him. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come, because Peter was being told to go to Cornelius' residence. Now therefore we are all, Cornelius was so excited and teachable, he got his whole household because he loved them, and said, come on, this man's coming to teach us the truth. And what a blessing it is for us. I guess almost everyone in this audience is probably a Gentile, by genealogy. This is the opening of the door of the gospel to the first Gentile subjects in the gospel coming to Cornelius in his household. They're teachable. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear what we want to hear and tickle our ears? No. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. The New Revised Standard says, to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. And then they're not only just willing to listen, but they're willing to change when they're confronted with adjustment, a course adjustment, a lifestyle adjustment, a giving something up adjustment in their lives. to be right with God and to be in fellowship with God vertically and horizontally with faithful brethren, to walk in truth, in love, and receive all the spiritual blessings from a loving and bountiful God above. They are willing to change. And as we mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 6, those brethren at Corinth, many had been engaging in many different types of sins. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But there's a good ending. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Good for them. That's our brethren, by the way. Because we have been washed, we have been cleansed, we have been given the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all of our sins. So a good learner has these characteristics, including changing. And then as we grow, consider James and the illustration of the mirror and God's Word. And as we look into the mirror, we do not want to see a course adjustment, a lifestyle change, something that we need to put on as a Christian or take off as a Christian in our mannerisms, our attitudes, or our beliefs, or our practices. Just course adjustments that we make as we grow in Christ Jesus our Lord and walk in truth and walk in love and not be like the illustration is given of what manner of man would look into a mirror or a lady and see an adjustment that needs to be made to themselves, whether it be their hair, their attire, a button not buttoned, or a shoelace untied, maybe a spot on a garment before leaving the house, and there's plenty of other garments to change into instead of walking out the door like that. Making the metaphorical use of that, that could be sins. Maybe we forgot our belt, guys, and we need to put it on because we looked in the mirror and we saw that we were wearing pants, but we didn't have our belt on yet. There are things we need to add to our life when we look into God's Word, and there are things we need to shed from our life even after we become Christians. Are we teachable? Just a few more passages of Scripture. We need to be instructed from the Bible and only from God's Word. We need to be careful about other doctrines, and we've been studying in 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and now we finished Jude in our studies in the Bible class in the auditorium. We're ready to start a new study. If you're visiting, come. It's a good time to start up. We're having the gospel meeting this coming Wednesday of this week. It'll end Sunday. And the following Wednesday after that, we'll begin a new study in the auditorium. God's ways are what we need. The psalmist said in the 27th Psalm, verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 86, verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." That's a reverential fear and awe. Psalm 25 and verse 4. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Can we read psalms like this and think of saying that to God? Can we sing songs of praise like we did today and really mean what we sing about "teach me to do thy will"? The implication is that psalm is not just, "I want to know, but I'm not going to do it." Now, that's not the implication. The implication is, "teach me to do thy will so I can do it." Because we show God love when we do those things that please Him. And how wonderful it is when brethren can dwell in unity, walk in love, and abide in truth. It's needed badly because we can't save ourselves and we can't devise any other way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6, and no one comes to the Father but by or through Him. Man can't make an alternative or devise some way to cheat the system, game the system, do a workaround, and still be in heaven forever. It's not possible. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. There is just one source of truth. Oh, there are many ways and many doctrines and many books and many religions. But how fortunate are we that we know the God of heaven and earth, the one true and living God, the one that back in Old Testament times other nations would fear and would give deference to? Oh, Daniel, I've got myself in a mess. I got to send you in here. But I believe that the God of Daniel can work this out. He did. All right. No problem there. Daniel knew the Lord, the true and living God. And we know Him too. And it's powerful. And we are in His family if we're true New Testament Christians. Teach us to do Thy will most lovingly. The lesson was not designed to actually teach much more than that, but I have a couple of things, and there are many, and I want you to go home thinking about things in addition that would make this lesson complete. I'm going to use two illustrations of Lord, teach us to pray properly and more fully. Maybe you pray, and you pray often. But what is the content of your prayer? I'm trying to say that you have to have one prayer that's 25 minutes long. But throughout your prayers, do we take what is said on prayer in the New Covenant that God helps teach us to pray and include those things at all, ever? Or do we have our, I'll call them, using myself as an illustration, pet prayers that we have to be very careful with? I believe that it's required that we take our food with thanksgiving. That means we pray before we eat. Try to do that every time. There are things about praying for the sick in God's Word. There are things about praying for those that are lost in God's Word. For the civil rulers, that we're to pray for them. Pray that the gospel might have free course. There are things that are probably optional to pray about. But when Jesus' disciples came to Him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He gave what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. I would take that, and then I would take the one that Jesus gave to His Father in John 17 about the disciples being one, and I would start right there. But I would take the totality of what the Bible says on prayer, specifically in the New Covenant, and say, read everything you can on prayer. What we are to pray for and what we're not to pray for, and start at that point. That takes study. That takes time. That takes effort. In the model prayer, what's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, that's the direction that we're going to start with, is making sure we're praying to deity. Who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, holy be Thy name, separate and apart be Thy name. It's not profane, the name of God. Praise and recognition, or do God. Thy will be done on earth. That involves some submission on our part and the recognition of the headship of God. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs. We're petitioning God to keep doing what He's been doing for us. And forgive us our debts or sins or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Daily cleansing. Not in a rote, repetitious, give me three Our Fathers and five Hail Marys. Not even to pray to Mary. Don't pray to Mary. But to pray this prayer by just memorizing it and committing it to memory and not meaning what you say when you say this prayer would not be effective. God knows the difference. He wants us to honor Him in spirit from the heart and in truth according to His will. Deliver us from evil. Keep limiting our temptations, 1 Corinthians 10:13. May we have a heart that we're willing to forgive others. And then let's move on to the last, and that is teach us to raise our children. We have some wonderful children in the room. We have some people there in their 20s and 30s and 40s that were wonderful children. 50s and 60s, dare I say 70s, in the room that were children that somebody raised, and probably in more cases than not in this room, raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they were in services like this, possibly to the point that they never knew a time that they were not in their life taken to services. What a joy that should be, and nothing to be taken for granted. Training up a child, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I believe this is an axiom, a premise that is true, but it is not without qualification, and I'll tell you why. First, let's read it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe some parents, in some cases, have done a wonderful job and did not fail the child, but the child, having free will, did depart from the truth. And I'm not calling God a liar here. What I'm trying to impress upon us is it's a general truth that is not without exception. Think of this. Wasn't God the perfect parent for the children of Israel? Didn't he teach them and train them and give them everything they needed to succeed and be protected by the power of him being God, their father? Apply that axiom to that spiritual application of training up a child in the way he should go, and if you believe it's literal without qualification, and when he is old he will not depart from it, how come the children of Israel departed from the way of the Lord? They had free will, that's why. But as a general rule, the victory was won. There was a cyclical situation where they were in favor with God and out of favor with God. And they were blessed tremendously when they were in favor. Received all the blessings and everything they needed. And when they fell away, they got their chastening. They got their spanking. They got their punishment. They got their captivity. And then, through repentance and a time period, they would be brought back into the favor of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:20. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. I know of children who have overcome the fact that they were born in homes of atheists, not raised to believe in God, but were seeking and knocking and found the truth. As God promises, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. God will send somebody providentially or make it work out where they can be exposed to the truth in order to be saved. Thank you for listening so kindly and attentively. And one last encouragement is teach us that we may number our days and redeem the time that we have, because the days are evil. We need to be ready. We need to be about spiritual matters. And I think it first starts with being teachable people, and then being willing to put into practice what we learn after we discern it to be the truth from God Almighty above. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation today in any way, or if you'd like to study more about spiritual things in the past, then let us know and we'll be happy to help you in any way. As a matter of convenience at this time, we beg you to come while together we stand and sing.